Shannon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, but I think I'm getting tired of your intro.
Yeah. Well, I
hello.
I know, but the deal is, I wanted to change up the intro. Kevin had something to say.
It reminds me of that. You guys remember that Seinfeld episode?
Yes.
Going, hello.
Yes. Kind of changing it up. But this is Filter Optional, and I am Chico.
And I'm Shannon.
And we are married.
Yes, we are today.
Yes. We are still married, yes. And continuing our marriage.
Yes, we talked last week about renewing marriage contracts. Maybe we should have them come up
well,
for
Well, really,
renewal.
We talked with Chris.
Yes, yeah.
But we didn't. I mean, you mentioned that. I don't mind renewing our deal, but I would love to renew. It's not I don't mind. Yeah. I would love to do that.
That'd be good.
You know, but we're loving doing this podcast. You know, we like the different you know, guests we bring on, the different topics and stuff. But remember, if you ever have any suggestions, you know, if you know us personally, we would be open to talking about different things. You know,
sure.
What, you know, how come, maybe an episode could be, you know, how come you're so blessed being married to me? That could be that could be a whole, like, three-part series of all the gifts.
3-minute section.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
But you know what? We've mentioned it. We've kind of alluded to it the last couple episodes about we have a new member in our family.
Oh, yes, my best baby yet. My cutest baby, my most behaved baby.
And who is that?
My baby that sleeps the best. That's Blue, our new puppy.
Oh, Blue, and he is adorable.
Oh my gosh, he's the best dog. He's the best dog.
Yes, I mean, in the wild thing is, we got this dog, but you watched the birth. You did everything.
I did. They did a live Facebook feed of the birth, and yeah, I was heavily invested.
Yeah,
yes.
And so we're excited, and you know what was it you were telling me a story about? We have our other dog, Buddy.
Oh yeah, okay. So we have Buddy, and everybody's real worried about Buddy because they call him Cujo, and I mean they think Buddy is psycho. So we have a lot of people worrying about Buddy and their relationship. Buddy's coming along. He's doing okay. But when I took him out to go to the bathroom the other day.
Buddy or Blue?
Buddy and Blue.
Oh, you took them both out.
I took them both out, yes, at the same time so that they could kind of teach each other. And Blue, you know, leans down to go to the bathroom. I mean, whatever they do, squats down to go to the bathroom. And I'm going, oh, good boy, good boy. And Buddy comes up beside him and lifts his leg to pee on the puppy. And I said, no.
And then what happened with Blue?
And then Blue looked up at me like, oh, I thought this was a good boy moment. I mean, yeah. I was like, ah, you're going to ruin all my training. But
Blue is actually helping out Buddy because Buddy is actually being better about going out in the yard. He's a little skittish and stuff like that.
He's got post-traumatic stress.
Is it immature to laugh at that story?
No, not at all.
It
is a great...
I kind of laughed after. I mean, I was like, what? Are you serious?
No. But
everybody's
excited.
Getting better. Everybody's doing better. Travis has been replaced a little bit.
Yes,
so we have Beck, Blue, those are my babies, and Buddy. And I told Travis, I go, I'm just gonna name all my babies from now on with the letter B. Start with the letter B. So Travis is kinda out.
He is. But the great thing
he
is
he's like, wow.
The great thing is Beck's done a great job. I mean, Blue is staying in Beck's room.
Yes.
He's really taking on that responsibility. I love that, you know, Beck goes, hey, I want it to be a you know, therapeutic dog.
No, he wants to train it, do the course, and do whatever, and he said he'd pay for it.
Yes.
He looked it up, and it's like $150 or something, and he said he would pay for it, and he would handle it. And I said,
I love that initiative.
Do it.
But, you know, last week
we can't do it until they're like a year or something.
Last week we talked to Chris Prestridge about, you know, FOL and stuff like that. You know, this week I'm excited. I have a good friend. He's a friend of yours.
You share a birthday
May 13th.
Yes.
You know, we did a party kind of a few years ago
yes.
together. And that's my good buddy, Drew Hamilton. Drew, glad you're joining us today. You know, how are you doing?
Thank you, Chico and Shannon. Glad to be here.
Yes. Wait, what I like, you know, last week we talked to Chris, you know, about FOL. It's Friends of Lakewood.
The Dad's Club.
And really just talking about how to get dads involved in the community and the elementary school and taking it up. I love what you're doing. Man, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. You've kind of had a cool journey of life.
I have, and just before I jump into my story real quick, I just want to say that I've enjoyed some of the previous episodes. I've listened, so there may be a little callback throughout today's episode.
We love callbacks. We love callbacks.
Yeah. And
speaking of which, it kind of looks like you're wearing last week's outfit, Chico.
It does look that way, but I actually
it's whatever I wash and hang in his closet that he goes to.
I'm glad you recognize that. Thank you. So anybody out there, you know, I am wearing the same shirt. You know, I didn't. You know,
he doesn't plan his wardrobe well. Yeah.
Got it. Well, so what do you want to know?
What I love, you know, we're here in the studio. You were talking, Kevin, about, you know, production. You have a big history with that and, you know, in the past. And, man, you've made a real big life change. You know, I sent you an email because I was just thankful for you. I was spending a little time with the Lord, and I was just thankful for who you are and the man that you are and what you're doing, you know, in our community and other communities as well. So what is the big transition in your life that's happened?
Okay, yeah, so I was trying to remember, and now it will somewhat relate to the dads as well. So, yeah, I had a life event back in 2010 where I was fired from what I considered to be a high-profile job. And at that point, it was a big blow to me because my self-worth kind of rose and fell with whatever the events were, and so having a nice job and a nice house and belonging to a country club, everything seemed great. And then when the job disappeared, that kind of threw me into a tailspin. And
been there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it led to some soul searching and actually really started me on a faith journey that I'm on now. And one of the events that kickstarted it was going to a speaker series at a friend's house, and the speaker was Carrie Pierce, with whom you're familiar.
Oh, yeah.
And Carrie was given his testimony, and at the end he talked about an accountability group that he was a part of. And at that point, I didn't really know what one was. I had heard the term, and someone asked him to explain it, and he did. And at that point, I thought, man, I could really use some of that in my life. And so I asked the host if he had an accountability group. He said he didn't. And I said, you want to form one? He said, let's do it.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, in the fall of 2011, we started meeting. And we basically said that we are going to commit ourselves to prayer, to scripture, to loving our wives like Christ loved the church. And then really just putting the mask down and creating a space where it was safe enough for us to share what's going on in our lives, whether
good, bad, or indifferent.
Exactly. Work struggles, family struggles, where you are with your faith, just
in a safe environment.
A safe environment. And that ended up becoming a ministry called Flashlight Circles, which was 4 to 5 man accountability groups. And the whole point was to create that safe space where guys are going to feel okay sharing. And the reason,
as guys, we struggle.
Right. So Flashlight Circles, the reason I came up with the name is I started thinking about when was the last time that I actually had meaningful conversations with other guys.
Yeah.
I was like, not in the business world.
No.
Not in the country club. Not on a golf course. Not even in college.
Not at a supper club.
Probably not even in high school. And I dialed back to being a kid. And you know how you learn from your kids? I remember just hearing kids talk in the back seat, like, hey, that hurts my feelings. And I was like,
right.
What is going on?
How are you comfortable enough to actually share that?
Yeah.
Right.
And so I started thinking about just when you're a kid, you know, you'd be in a fort and you'd have flashlights and stay up late and you'd actually talk and have real conversations. And so that was the point of that. And
expose yourself a little bit.
Expose yourself. Let yourself be known.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I say, it's just putting the mask down and sharing that, hey, life's not all we thought it was going to be.
And there's going to be times where, you know, your identity is in your job and stuff like that. And then that identity can get ripped away.
Absolutely.
I love that now your identity's in Christ.
Yep.
You know, and that was that changing moment for you.
Well, and everybody struggles. And so it's learning how to struggle well. And you've learned how to struggle well, which is awesome. Because
yeah.
Everyone, I mean, I'd like to meet the person that doesn't struggle.
Yeah, exactly. I
would argue the person that struggles well struggles with others.
Yes,
because you
right.
can't, it's, life is difficult and doing it on your own is, makes it even that much more difficult.
Right.
Well, I don't think you can struggle well without others. You know, if you look back at, in the beginning, you know, we were talking about marriage and stuff like that. In the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. You know, God created from our rib woman, you know, and so right there, it's like we are called to be in community.
But and you have to be intentional about it, which is where you come in. What a great gift that you've given these other men and the world is that out of your need to be intentional to struggle well with others, you have allowed others to struggle well with others.
Yes.
Makes sense, you know, and so you have to be intentional about it. You have to realize that we have to be vulnerable and expose ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
To struggle.
And the deal is what I like, and my fondness for Drew is he's you're modeling that well.
Yes.
You're modeling that well that it's all right, because there's times when we're taking a bold stance in our faith that it's lonely, you know, and you're gonna get, you know, some of the pushback from your peers that you like and stuff like that. You know, have you experienced that?
Yeah, here's a perfect example. So to set it up, is Flashlight Circles led to an encounter with a ministry that's been around since the 80s. It's called Lynx Players International. And what they do is they use the game of golf to draw golfers in to their faith. And so my role now is actually starting and maintaining Bible studies at golf courses and country clubs. And so Lynx is an acrostic for love God and others, integrate Christ's reign into all areas of life, network friends together in Christ, kindle compassion for the poor and needy, and share Christ through the great game of golf.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
So yeah, that's what I do now, and it's a niche ministry.
Sure.
But what I like to say is, you know, one of the arguments will be, it's like, well, why do I want to support a ministry? You're just catering to rich guys. And there's definitely some truth to that argument, but a couple of counterpoints would be everybody needs Jesus.
Yes.
And this is a demographic that is hard to reach.
Yes.
And if we can influence the hearts of the influential, I think the impact can be exponential.
Yes.
Yes.
So that ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know.
So I start the role I'm in now, and it wasn't 2 months that I was into the role that I'm at a golf club and someone says, hey, Hammy, what are you up to these days? And I tell them what I'm doing, and the reaction was, starting Bible studies at country clubs.
Huh.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Kind of that smart-ass mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. But and that was the end of the conversation, but it was a seed planted in my mind, and you know,
kind
I think the message well received, and
yeah.
I like to say is it's our role is to make the pitch. It's God's role to close the deal.
So.
Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit right there. It's like you're a seed planter. You know, who knows? That's where you know Scripture validates that.
Yeah.
You know, over and over. And so, but at that time, I like that. Oh, good luck. You know, because it's competition comes out everywhere.
Well, not even that competition. That loneliness. There's that loneliness. Like, oh, good luck with that. You're on your own. You know,
yeah.
But when you, and I think we're taught that from elementary school age on up to be lonely in a crowd. You know what I mean? Even I talk to so many college freshmen that get so lonely, even though they're surrounded by people and they probably have a roommate like our son, you know, in a dorm, and they're in a dorm full of kids their age and they have so much activity going on, but they're lonely still. Because when you realize that you aren't lonely with God, and that's your only pal, you know, at the time, then you, yeah, good luck with it. Is just you and God. So, hey, nothing's impossible. So I've got this. But
yeah, but at the same time, we get wrapped into what the world says. You know, we get wrapped into, hey, if it's our job, you know, if we, you know, our kids, you yeah. know, I mean, I found that at different times. We, you know, we can identify with Drew raising money, working, you know, back in the 90s, I was raising money because I was on Young Life staff, you know, and it's like I'm telling people, hey, I'm going to Germany. Oh, am I going to support you living in Europe? You know, yeah. No, I'm working with high school kids on the military basis.
Right.
You know. But the person that says good luck, I guarantee it is going to think about that conversation, though, again. They're going to have that conversation over in their head again and think, was that the right thing to say? I mean, I think.
Yeah, well, and for me, it's like hearing that was perfect. I was like.
Challenge. Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. But
mission
it was also
impossible.
Like,
mission impossible.
No need to water this seed anymore. Like that was that was enough right there. Is they heard, and you know, now we'll just let the Holy Spirit work.
Right. You know, and so I was thinking, because Shin and I've been there, and then I went to seminary, and she's on Young Life staff, you know, over in the Park Cities and stuff like that. How is it going with Susan and y'all? You know, making this big transition. You know, that's always been my hope when you invited me, is how are we going to support, you know, it's not just Drew, but, you know, Susan and your kids. Because my experience is that a lot of the Lynx player men that were on staff were older guys. Their kids were gone and stuff like that. How are you doing now that you've been in this role?
Yeah, I would say is I think it would be tough for someone right out of college to jump into this role. A network helps to get started, and it is just like any other business, as far as when you're trying, and I'm sure you experience this, is when you're trying to raise your funds, I always knew the first year to 2 years was going to be the hardest, because you're really starting from zero. Your donor base is zero.
Right.
And for me, it's hard to feel good about saying, hey, here's kind of what's going to happen, when I really don't know. And I'm asking you to invest in that, and you know, and it's kind of like, it could be, I've heard it said. I was like, so wait, you want me to pay for you to go play golf with your friends?
Right.
It's like,
right, I know.
Well, I'm not really explaining that very well.
Yeah.
So two things that have started to happen is, one is, now I'm in the field and I'm seeing the effect of the work that's being done. And luckily, through one of my previous jobs, I have the ability to podcast, I have the ability to create videos, and now I'm able to capture some of these stories. And instead of me trying to sell what the ministry's doing, is it's just turning it over and capturing people's stories in their own words. Then people get it and start to rally behind and support it. So,
absolutely.
You know. Is it easy? No, because it's not like I have a product, and if I sell X amount of product, then I know what our income's going to be. I have no idea what it's going to be.
I can identify you with Casa Kalina. I mean, there's a lot of treatment centers out there. I started Casa Kalina, you know.
Since we're just 2 years old.
About the same time you were doing it. And it was like, okay, hey, no, believe in this product. It's like, man, I think we're doing some good stuff. You've been down there. You've
seen it. And you're dealing with souls.
Yes, I'm dealing with people. I'm not making widgets, you know, or something like that. It's like, I don't know. You like that? Widgets?
Generic business.
You're not working at the North. Yeah. You're not working at the North Pole in the toy factory.
Yeah. Okay, widgets is kind of a random deal, but that just the first thought mind.
I'm sorry. But yes.
But the deal is, I can identify with that. It's like, okay, how come? You know, so it's telling those stories. You know, that's part of the deal of us doing this podcast is, you know, yes, we're talking Casa Kalina, but we're also talking about, man, There is so much out there. We want to encourage people that are really trying to be intentional and building community, building, you know, the really helping people find that platform for their faith, you know, for a relationship with the Lord and stuff like that. I like that, that, you know, you're doing that. I was part of one of your flashlight circles, and, you know, man, that was good. You saw Gordo and I. That was an intense one when we were meeting regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and to answer with Susan and family, it's, yeah, like, again, just luckily we're partners in it, and yeah. She and I both feel that I'm where I'm supposed to be, and we're just trusting that that the support will be there and God will provide, and yeah, I mean.
And he will.
Like I say, it's not easy. It'll test your trust and your faith,
sure.
But that's part of the growing process. And you know, I'm super glad I decided to. You know, people were saying, "Is oh well, you know, you've stepped up to the Jordan. Now are you gonna wait for God, or are you gonna take the first step?" And I've taken the step, and I'm glad I did.
Well, and I like that you say, you know, you partnered up. Yeah, Shannon's doing the podcast with me. I'm kind of in, like, in that role with you with Lynx. I'm that front guy leading, you know, the team at CASA and stuff like that. But Shannon is so integral in that, being that support, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like what you first did with, you know, Flashlight Circles, you know, is like, you know, to love your wives as Christ loved the church, right out of Ephesians 5. You know, as men, we're called to do that. And then, man, women will partner up with that. If they know that's happening, is that fair? The woman
yes.
in the room?
Yes, that is fair. That is fair. Yeah. If you are indeed doing that, yes.
Yes, and so I mean that's what I love about having you around is, man, you get excited.
You like
about...
having me around because I do all the grunt work, like call AT&T when we have a phone problem and sit on the phone for an hour.
Well, I'm listening to the dog story. It sounds like Chico may not be super involved because he said, "Wait, you took both dogs out at the same time?"
Right.
What's that?
He doesn't
like?
Know the drill. And let me tell you this, when we decided to get the dog, and so the dog had been born, but it was with the breeder, and Chico looked at me and goes, "Well, I just hope you don't start bitching about taking care of that dog and taking it out and taking it for a walk and everything." And I go, "Well, I hope you don't start bitching when that dog doesn't like you at all."
And boom.
He was like, "Well, I mean, whatever." And then, of course, when the puppy arrived, I go, "I guess it's kind of like having our kids. You're not real into them until they're actually here on Earth, like in our house," which he wasn't real into them until they were.
Yeah, I saw that episode. I liked his reaction to you being pregnant.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was
that's where, you know,
terrible.
I guess, you know, that vulnerability, I'm being vulnerable here. You know, it's like, man, I make mistakes constantly.
I'm going to hear about this later. He's going to be like, "I got vulnerable. What about you?"
So speaking of vulnerability, two things. One is, and you had mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
There's a book by Dr. Brené Brown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Greatly. So
love her.
Hugely influential in just my growth and, you know, took that model that you need to be in the arena.
Yeah.
And so in the flashlight circles, the whole point is like you're creating a safe enough space that guys are okay being vulnerable. But when I would have breakfasts and invite people there just to explain the concept of flashlight circles, I would not lead with vulnerability because
right.
I think as an introduction, most guys are shut down.
Like,
two auto objections are vulnerability, I'm out, and time. I don't
right.
have time, and that's an easy one to overcome.
Right.
So there's that, and then we've talked about how men struggle to communicate, and so to honor Susan,
yes.
one of her good stories, which is so true, is she has a buddy, the wife of another member that was in our flashlight yeah. circle with Gordo and Tommy and Jimmy, and the wife said, "Hey, Susan, why don't we have a flashlight circle?"
Right.
And Susan said, "Kate, we don't need a flashlight circle. We have friends."
Right. Yes.
Like,
yes.
We already do that.
I said this last week about men. They're not intentional about men. They don't make plans. And Travis, I mean, Chico is always sitting at home going, "I don't have any friends." And I'm like,
I don't say it like that.
Don't.
I mean, she over-exaggerates.
I do.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny.
Yes, but y'all are more intentional. We're not intentional. You know, another word that men struggle with is intimacy. You know, I like to define it as into me you see. And so what you were creating and what you're continuing to do is into me you see. Make that vulnerability so other men can see inside you. It's good to
because
get that.
Men equate intimacy with sex.
Oh, yeah. We definitely do that.
So that's why you can't go up to your group of buddies and be like, let's be intimate.
Yeah, that'd go over
How
well.
How about let's practice some intimacy?
Boom.
Yes. You know, I mean, that's like vulnerable. Vulnerable time and intimacy. Yeah, you're done.
Yeah. And so I like what you're doing. I like the fact that you're being intentional on building community. You're being intentional on, you know, getting other men to buy into that community. Being intentional and going, "Hey, you know, stuff's going to happen in life. You know, where is your hope? Where is your faith?" You know, I like that. You know, I like the story of, you know, what radically changed you is going in here and Carrie Pierce's, you know, testimony and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that got you, okay, on that journey of pursuing this dude named Jesus. You know, what I know about you, man, you're all into music. So that makes total sense that you're going to hear Carrie. You know, it's finding what people are into and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's a book by Squire Rushnell I always refer to it called God Wink. Well, it's When God Winks, mm-hmm. and so I use the phrase God Winks, and just throughout my journey, it's just consistent. And the concept of the book is that there are no random occurrences.
Right.
If you look at the milestones and the signposts in your life and really step back and look, you start to see the fingerprints of God all over your journey.
Yes.
And so the concept is like when you have one of those, you can basically look up and God's winking at you like,
yes,
I got this.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
And I think it helps when, you know, I love that concept because I think that really helps when you're going through the different trials that life brings, as if, can you step back? I mean, you've been integral in my life when I went through some, you know, some stuff a few years ago. It's like, man, it's like, y'all would remind me, okay, wait a minute. Hey, God's present. You know,
yeah.
Where is your relationship? You know, because it's easy to get focused on where others are wrong instead of, okay, what part am I playing in this?
Yeah, well, and it's also, it took me a long time to dwell on the verse to have it really understand, because it sure sounds a lot better than it is when you're in the midst of it, but consider it all joy,
yes,
my brothers, when
right.
you face trials of many yes. kinds, because, you know,
it's the testing yes. of your faith. I mean,
yeah,
I love
it's like, man, that is, once I got through a trial, it's like, that is awesome.
I know.
You're in a trial, it's like,
I know. Yes.
Well, it's like, this is not,
yes, no,
I actually wrote that to Susan at one point and just said, you know, hey, I'm holding on to this verse. And her reply was, I'm not finding any joy in this trial.
And you know what? How honest is that? Because
yeah.
that's the way Chico and I talk. You know, there are certain times when he's coming in and he's like, I don't think I can take one more thing. And I do the same. But generally, we aren't both totally
on the same track.
On the same track, totally down or totally up at one point. And so, and I think that's God designed also.
Well, I mean, just today, I mean, she was sharing with me, you know, on our way over here about, you know, my response to my youngest son, and I was agreeing with her, and all of a sudden there was this defensive. I go, Shannon, I'm agreeing. I know, but, you know, in the past, you've been defensive, you know, so it was good that she just recognized that. I mean, and she goes, you're correct. It's just, you know, my natural response.
Yeah.
I love that Susan's going, I don't find joy in that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So getting back to God Winks is just, I have them all throughout and just different influences throughout the journey. So yes, obviously the Carrie Pierce speech was huge, getting fired, which, you know, at the
yeah.
time was like,
yeah.
man, that really hurts. But when I was home, you know, 3 days after that, I was like, wow, I just let 2 years just slide by and, you know,
yes. Yeah.
Question, wow, what was I really going after? You know, you just get in the
yes.
the routine and you're not actually thinking about what is my purpose, what am I trying to do. So another one is reading a book which I know you've read is 7 Days in Utopia by David Cook, and that super changed my life as well, because that changed my mindset from focusing on affluence to focusing on influence.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
And that's all my mission now is just to positively influence men and women, just, you know,
right,
for the rest of my life. That's what I want to do.
And I think even books are like God winks, you know, yeah, what I mean? When they're put in your life at certain time. I mean, there have been books that Chico's read that have really influenced his life. And then he's like, you got to read this book. And it doesn't, I read it and I'm like, this isn't really doing it for me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so I think, seriously, like those things land in your lap at the right times.
And it might not influence your spouse, but it has an impact on you. They can influence your relationship with her.
Yeah.
I mean, guess one of those books is Henry Nouwen, Life Science. You know, you know, ecstasy, I mean, intimacy, fecundity. I love that. And
sounds dirty.
Ecstasy in a Christian perspective. Fecundity, I don't usually have a lot of big words. But fecundity, you know, means to bring forth life, you know, to be fruitful. Yeah. You know, it's an archaic word that we need to bring back to the core of our being.
I don't know. We need to bring
but
it back.
I love it. Fecundity is a great word.
He loves to say it.
Yeah, can we transition to another topic? I'm getting uncomfortable.
I do too. When he says it more than once, I get
I said
super
it at my grandmother's funeral.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But that... Never mind.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother topic.
That is another.
Becoming about you and yeah. your...
going for the dramatic...
His deal. Verse of the year or book of the year or whatever.
Yeah, I get focused on one thing. Mm-hmm. That can be a good thing. It can be a detrimental thing. But yeah. Man, I love Drew... I love you as a man. I love you as a friend.
Thank you, Chico.
You know, I
love you too.
He's not afraid to show you intimacy.
Do you feel... Hey, Facebook, do you feel the breakthrough right there?
Yes.
Right.
Two men actually saying I love you.
Right.
Yeah. But I love that you came out, man. Thank you for this great episode.
Well, so again, another honor to Susan is at one point, I got to the point where I was focused on, you know, how much time we have left and in life, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Kind of to bring it down a notch, right. But... No. Started to think about, you know what, if I'm playing golf, I want to play golf with people that are going to add value, bring value to me. I don't want to waste 4 hours,
yeah.
you know, with people where I'm going to walk away and be like, why did I just do that?
Right.
And I mentioned that to Susan and she's like, you have that totally backwards. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, we're supposed to be light. You're supposed to be out on the golf course shining your light. And I was like, duh. And so... Ever since, I now consider myself to be a yes man. And if people ask me to play golf, if I don't have a pre-scheduled appointment, no longer do I say, hey, let me think about it. Who else is playing?
Right.
What course are we going to be at? It's just like, you know what? Yes, it's an opportunity.
To be light.
Every opportunity to be light. So, yeah, when I got the email yesterday saying, hey, you know, we'd love for you to come down, it's like, I don't have anything else scheduled. I don't know what I'm going to say. I have no idea what to expect, but you know what? I'm going to say yes.
I love it that you said yes.
I am too. Thank you so much, man. And enjoy the rest of your week.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Great to be here.
Yeah.
Y'all take care. Thank you,
Shannon.
And
happy birthday coming up.
Happy birthday to both of y'all.
Shannon.
All right. Bye-bye.